staff began to argue back and forth. And one was claiming the other had done it wrong. And finally the pastor went to the person that had been done wrong and said, "Why don't you forgive him? That would be a good place to start." And he said, "I can't forgive him. Do you not know what he did?" And the pastor looked at him and said, "But if it was Jesus, he would forgive." And he says, "Okay, I'm not Jesus, and I'm not her." How many times do we as Christians say that? I want to share with you that I think we say it a lot. Someone say, "I never said you." Let me get into the message. I think we do. I'd like for you to turn to John chapter 17, verse 16. John 17, 16. I'll be reading John chapter 16, verse 3, verse 23. Now, I have my Bible open. I think I need to let you know this. I have my Bible open. But I find that if I type it in big bold print on here, I can read it better. So I'm not reading all of it, but I've got the word of God open before me. John 17, 16. "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou didst send me into the world, even so sent I them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Neither for these only do I pray, but for them also that believe on me through the word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in them, that they may also be in us, that the world may believe that thou dost send me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfected into one, that the world may know that thou didst send me, and lovest them, even as thou lovest me." This is Jesus speaking to the Father on our behalf. I want you to think with me just a moment. I know I have shared this story with you. It's so impacted my life that I have shared it several times over the period of the last 14 years that I've been here, close to 14. And that is this. In 1999, my wife and I went to a small group from Durham to the Ukraine on mission. While we were there with a week working with children, on the last day, as we stood there in the streets, a group of parents came to us, and through the interpreter, they said to us, "For the first time, we feel God's presence in our streets. And for the first time, we see God in our children. And we know it is because they first saw Jesus in you." But I want to share with you the rest of the story. And this is the rest of the story. We went to Charlotte to catch the plane out of Charlotte. And we were going from Charlotte to Chicago, from Chicago to Warsaw, Poland, and then from Warsaw, Poland, we went in to Lviv, Ukraine. And so we were in Charlotte. We decided to stop just outside the airport at an IHOP and eat breakfast. If you like IHOP, I do. This is a wonderful experience. But while we were eating, I get a phone is it? She said, I've been dating him some. He's dead. I said, what happened? This morning he went jogging early and he found him dead on the side of the road. Now I'm getting ready to get on an airplane to leave this country with a group of people that I was leaving to the Ukraine. And I said, Lord, I can't. How can I go? Talked a few minutes more with Lake. Lake was with the family there. Two aunts were there. Family was on. And then and I said, Lord, what should I do? And I came back to the table and told Bill what happened to Bill. And then she said, maybe you ought to call your dad. He has been a missionary. He's a pastor. He would have a better clue of this stuff. So I called him, and he asked me two questions. How close was Lake with this boy? Were they engaged? Were they getting married? Were they that serious? I said, no. She said, they saw each other every once in a while. It was from a distance. Then he said, okay. Second question, do you think God has called you? Yes, I'm sure that because he prepared everything in advance, and it just fell all together and was so perfect. He said, and I would say to you, your first call is to fulfill your mission with the Lord. And I said, so I called the daughter back and talked for a while, and then I comforted her and told her I would be called. When I got to Chicago, we called her. We got to Chicago late because of the thunderstorms all around Chicago. And first of all, they wouldn't let us take off for an hour. And then we got there and the had to circle the airport until the rain, the storm went on, and then we landed in Chicago at the O'Hare. And one of the things that we realized when we got there, we weren't going to catch our overnight plane to Warsaw. So we had to spend the night in Chicago. I was able to talk to my daughter a good bit in the evening, all the way. And the next morning, we left the next evening and took an overnight flight to Warsaw. But when we got to Warsaw, because we were one day late, we had missed our flight. You see, if the planes from Warsaw to Lviv were only every 3 days, so we're stuck in Warsaw for 2 days. When we took off from Charlotte and were flying in the depths of the clouds and the storms, I opened the Bible and I began to read this, Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waited for the revealing of the sons of God. I read the scripture over and over again. I read it when we were flying to Chicago. I read it when we left Chicago and went to Warsaw. And while we were in Warsaw, I stood there and read. We were there on Sunday morning. We were flying out to Sunday night. And while we sat, by the way, it was their national, happened to be, their national freedom day or something like that, and they had parades, and we saw parades. We had a worship service in the park there in Warsaw Polo. In the very neighborhood where the ghettos were in World War II, where they took away the Jews by the tens of thousands. It broke my heart. But as I sat there, they asked me to share a message that Sunday morning. And so I shared a message, but it came from the scripture. And I could only think about this scripture, this word that I just read. We flew into the beam. As we were flying, I said, God, I cannot even think of this scripture. I am no good. I am the worst servant. I can't speak. I can't witness. I have nothing to share with these people. I am a broken man. Good. Now I can use you. See before the glory of God can be seen in us. He had to prepare us. He had to take everything I thought I was and my view of self and my view of who I was. He had to take all of that and put it in the trash can. Through his word, he began to reform me into what he wanted. And in that new thing that he reformed in me, the glory of God, the presence of God was visible. And then through that, not only my life, but all the others as we shared together that before we ever got there, we realized that God was transforming us, preparing us to be different. It wasn't what we were going to share as much as it was who we were, and that they would see Christ in us. A couple of years later, I went to Ukraine again. This time, Gail was not with me this time, but we were walking the streets, and the people this time were the adults were coming to see us. These are the people that brought God to our streets. These are the people that brought God to our children. And there, it was interesting. Sometimes we were invited into homes, and we were like a curio. You know, come in. Like to know who you are. Other times it was they wanted a blessing on their household. They wanted God in their house. Finally, there was a man who invited us to come, and he was... He had his own little church in his house, and he was conducting worship in his house and invited us to come. And he asked us a question. He said, do you believe man can be perfect before he leaves this earth? I looked at him and I said, no, I do not. And he said to me, why not? And I said, because the Scripture says, until we meet Jesus, and then we shall be like him. But it doesn't say we shall be like him until we meet him. So as I smiled and got some more questions and answered those, it was interesting. He said goodbye. He never gave his opinions, never gave his views. I don't know where he was coming from, but then when I read from James chapter 1, verse 2 through 8, this is what it says. Count it all joy, my brethren, when we fall into manifold temptations, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacketh wisdom, and ask God to give it to you all liberally, and upbraid it not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, knowing that there would be no doubt. For he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. For let not the man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, unsuitable in all their ways. Question is, can God's presence in your life bring perfection to your own? And what does it mean when someone speaks of the image of Christ in your life? So many times we opt to excuse our imperfection and use the terms, hear me, listen, I want us to think about this morning, because I've dealt with this. I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's true. But do we use that as a lie? license to sin or to not do what God wants me to do. I mean, I'm not Jesus. Don't get me wrong. I'm trying to live a good life, but I'm not Jesus, so I'm not perfect, and it's okay. Is that double-mindedness? As I learned in the Eucharist, His glory is the presence of God and can be seen in us. It can be viewed by others in us. That glory is what the world is looking for. In that scripture in Romans that I read, it said this, and the world is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. Is the world looking for great preachers? No. Is the world looking for people who are great witnesses? No. Is the world looking for someone who can stand on the street corner and preach? No. Is the world looking for the perfect, true? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, they make up their own truth. But hear me. They are looking for the sons of God to be revealed, which means when you become the presence of God, that is the perfected image of God. By the way, if I bear the image of God, don't sit there and say, but in me it's trash. No, the image of God is still the image of God, whether it's in you or in anybody else. The image of God is a perfected image. Now, some people will say, but I sin. What do you think about David? You remember good old David? He had a heart hardened fast after God, and God chose him out because he had a heart that was willing to be given to God. But he still sinned. But he held the image of God. And all through we hear, even Samuel, when he talks about David, we hear them say, David reflected God. Now, how could David reflect God when he had sinned so great? Because his heart was God's. So what is the image of God that is in us? Is it that we walk around and we do everything perfect? Anybody here perfect? Not in your flesh. But that image is perfect. And so you do carry. Hear me. And what was the image of God? The image of God was the perfect love. We reflect the perfect love. And what keeps us from doing that? Me. Who uses excuses and reflects more on my sins. I'm not Jesus. So, we don't have to do anything if we're not Jesus, right? God had to get rid of Bronze Egg before he could get his, what he wanted there. You know, sometimes we just have old habits of thinking. Habits of doing things. I mean, God needs to get rid of those. I just bought a trumpet. Now, Don, you and I need to get together. I'm talking really serious. Because I will try to fix my old trumpet. The valves were dead. It warped. They wouldn't go in. They said it'd be hundreds of dollars. So I just went back to learning how to play. One of the things I want to say to you about all that is, and I'm doing it for worship, I really am. I'm going to get to where I can play the trumpet for worship. Don and I are going to put on a duet here in a few months. So you're ready to go. All right. Do you play anything, Brianna?
I do.
Oh, shoot. We could have Brianna. And And if anybody else plays,
she records an excellent video.
Okay. If you know anybody else who plays, we might get an orchestra, small orchestra. But anyway, I got my trumpet. The reason I got my trumpet was I want to play in worship. I realized I had old habits that were bad. The reason is I decided to start over again. And this gap between the last time I played was almost 40 years, and now is huge. So I need to start over again almost. My lips sounded pretty good, but here's my point. I got a book, and it says, these are some bad habits. I realized when I was young, I had formed bad habits. I had to get rid of the bad habits and try the new habits. And try the new way that they say really lets you play the trumpet good. So here I am like a beginner, starting all over again, learning how to play the trumpet. Now I say that to where, I'm going to say this very carefully. Some of us older Christians think we have arrived. You have not arrived. We have some really bad habits we've picked up over the years. And those bad habits are habits about how we look at ourselves. I'm not this, and I'm not that, and I'm glad I'm not Jesus, but I can't hold it. It's a bad habit. You can have the image of God perfected in you that transforms people around you as God removes the old you. John chapter 15, verse 1 through 5 says this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it. Take it and may bear so that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word which I have spoken into you. Already you are clean because of the word which I have spoken into you. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken into you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit outside of itself, except it abide in the vine. So neither can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Then verse 7 and 8, if ye abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever so you shall will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Whoa. This is saying this is how you're a disciple. How? That you bear much fruit. Disciples bear fruit. Disciples bear fruit. How is it done? Abide in me, and my words abide in you. Abide in me, and my words abide in you. What was it on that airplane that began to transform? The Word of God. Romans chapter 8. Transform. This is not a bunch of, there was a point in my life, and I don't know if you've ever been there, where suddenly you began to realize this is the holy Word of God. It is the living Word of God. How did the universe come into being? By the word of God. God spoke it and it came into existence. The word of God has power to transform every situation and every person on the face of the earth. This word is so powerful that as you speak it, as you learn it, as you meditate on it, it transforms you into his image. Don't treat this word like a bunch of relic terms and sayings. I remember my grandmother. She was Catholic. One day we came home from church. She was waiting there. She had been her Catholic mass early in the morning. We came home from church, and I had my Bible, and I was walking in, and my sister said something mean to me. And I took my Bible and threw it at her. It's the only thing I had in my hand.
My grandmother came in there and she says, "How dare you throw God's word around?" She taught me as a Catholic, this word is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It is the transforming power of every human being. It's not a bunch of relic from the past. When you sit down to read, do you seriously read? Let me tell you how I read that scripture. I'm going to close with it. Let me tell you how I read that scripture. I read it probably 10 times over. It's only 3 or 4 verses. Then I began to meditate. What are you saying? What are you saying? Then I began to digest it. And then I began to meditate. And then I began to digest it. And then I preached it on Sunday morning in Warsaw. And then I digested it and I read 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 it. And the truth of God began to transform me and all of us. This is the holy word of the living God. We should carry this thing everywhere we go. And I think we do basically today because we've got it in the phones, hopefully. That's one advantage we have. And I do stop places and just open the word of God in my home. This is God's word for us. Eat it. Digest it. Transform you and never say again, "I'm just an old sinner saved by grace." You are an image bearer. That's the word for the present Christian Catholic. Present, the word present means the instrument that bears the flames. There are a lot of us. We are. This is